On this episode of Life Below Zero, Alaska braces for winter's grip.
I predict it's going to be really bad weather.
Only the tough survive, man.
Andy puts his bet on an elusive prize.
I gotta let him get a little closer.
Sue risks thin ice for last-minute reserves.
Do not fall through.
The Hailstones hunt for their community's survival.
You gotta keep it in sight.
Where'd you go?
And a costly mistake could break Eric for good.
It's about 20 below zero. Oh!
Every autumn, the Hailstones travel 26 miles from their home in Norvik to Camp Kukacek, where they acquire essential resources.
Okay, you ready then?
Let's go moose hunting.
Plan today is to go hunting. We'll see what we see. But there's definitely moose around, and the chances of us coming along with one is pretty good. We like being providers and sharing, and people treat us good for that because that's an adult's place. There's at least, 20 houses we can give it away to, and everybody will have 3 or 4 meals, and they'll reciprocate. And when I got nothing, fresh meat will land at my house.
Oh, we're off! We're checking out the lakes, we're checking out the sloughs, and the moose just naturally walk the grassy areas. So, we'll hunt what we see first.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Watch out for that wave!
I'm tearing your up!
Watch out for that willow! Woo!
Oh, we're hunting. It's shopping. We're gonna see what's on the aisles. We got a moose tag, and it's all good, man. You don't know what you see till you see it. When we see it, we'll hunt it.
With dark winter approaching, Chip and Agnes can't afford to return to Norvik without a moose in tow.
You see that? There you go.
Oh, whoa.
Skinny one. Woohoo!
Walk, 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 walk.
Gonna hit the river and swim. It's gonna put the river between us. Put it on your shoulder. Let's go.
There's a lake right over here, so it's between the lake and the river somewhere.
He just kept on going. You see the look on his face? He gave us one eye and then he turned his head and gave us the other eye. Double checking.
Yep.
Oh well. Saw a nice young bull moose. He gave us one eye, and then he gave us the other eye, and he got the f*** out of town. If you don't know where he is, you really can't shoot him. It's pretty hard to find him in this tangle. So we just go on to the next one. It's no biggie. It's actually quite normal. Okay, let's carry on. We got a date with a big fat moose somewhere.
You prepare for the worst and be pleasantly surprised by the best. But if you haven't prepared for it, by the time it hits, that's a plum deal.
As winter descends on Kavik, Sue Akins faces 300 days of sheer isolation in her remote outpost.
Hey, look what showed up. Winter came back. Seeing all the white on the ground, it's a reminder that this isn't going anywhere. I'm losing more daylight daily, and so shut down a camp. I gotta get it buttoned up. I've gotta know it's buttoned up. And that means going through each and every trailer, just opening it. Are the windows shut? Is there something I need to fix? Make a list, get it done. I check, I double check, I triple check. This is my last shot before winter stays and doesn't leave. I need to get it done today. Where I can today stand here relatively thinly dressed, that is going to change and change rapidly. 60, 70, even 100 below zero is not unheard of. The wind picks up and I will not be able to see this hand in front of my face. I could never walk down here and be able to see the orange color of that trailer, let alone it's going to be dark. Today, I have nice temperatures. I'm getting liquid water. It's a blessing. Just anything to add to what I use. I normally do about a gallon a day is what I give myself between drinking, bathing, cooking, cleaning. Tomorrow, it'll be frozen and a bigger challenge. Where is an appreciable opening? The goal is that you don't really want to fall through, but it could happen. Do not fall through. Do not fall through. There we go. I mean, water. It is precious as gold out here because I'm going to have the next 300 days without running liquid water. I'll have plenty in the ice variety, plenty in the snow. This is not frozen yet. And this time of year, that's kind of unheard of. So while the getting's good, I need to get my water and resupply myself. Another week, maybe two. The length of that journey could cost me a couple of these. It is a beautifully harsh place. And only the tough survive, man.
The more you learn, the more you see, the more you get out there, the better adapted you are to harvesting what you need out here.
Well, yesterday morning we woke up and we had a little light snowfall, and the forecast was for snow and rain showers. When we woke up, it was, holy cow, we'd already had 7 inches, but it's this wet, horrible snow.
Pretty cold day on the Yukon today.
We've had a very early snowfall this year, and it's really putting a hurt on the way we do things. Everything's frozen down, everything's buried under the snow. I would have liked to have harvested a little bit more meat. We got a nice moose, but today what's on the agenda is to go get a couple beavers. There's a couple beaver ponds not too far from here, and the season's open for firearm. Once it cools off a little bit more with the snow, we'll get a lot of ice forming on the Yukon pretty quick, so I want to take full advantage of being able to use the boats before winter sets in completely.
Hunting beaver is a little bit different than hunting a lot of hoofed animals. Beavers have a pretty good sense of smell. They tend to come out in the early mornings and late evenings, so I don't know if they'll be out right now, but this is close enough to home. I can always come back in the evening time if I need to.
Yeah, right now I'm carrying 22 Magnum for shooting the beavers, and I'm carrying my 325 in case I run into a bear. It'd be foolish to walk around here with just a 22 right now. 22 Magnum wouldn't do much against a grizzly bear, except for piss him off. It's a beaver chew. It's a lot of aspen and a lot of cottonwood right here, so this is what they prefer to eat. You can see there's quite a few chews around here.
This is a pretty good little beaver pond here. There's a good sized feed pile here, and I can see the bank house here where they've been piling sticks up against the bank.
So there's nothing swimming right now. I'm gonna go thump on the water a little bit. That's kind of an alarm for the beavers. I'll see if that doesn't draw them out to investigate.
Like everybody's napping right now, so
I think it's time to go back home, get a few more chores done. I'm hoping if I come back late this evening, have an opportunity to harvest one or two of them. We'll see what happens.
There's a lot of different types of people that come out to the bush to live. You know, some people come out here because they're running from something, and everybody lives out here for their own unique reason.
For much of the winter, Eric Salatan makes his living from trapping fur. Today he's hoping a new kind of trap will bring him success.
Just opening up a box of Conibear 330s. This trap's different than most of the traps I use in that it actually breaks the neck of the animal and kills it instantly, whereas most of the traps I use are leg holds and just catch the animal's foot. I'm trying to construct a box here to put a 330 conibear in, something I've never done. I'm not that good of a carpenter, but I don't think the animals will notice. Okay, I think my cubby set box is going to work. So the idea is the bait is placed in the back of the cubby. The animal comes along, he sees the bait in the back, he goes in, he hits this trigger mechanism, snap. It instantly kills him, and it's a real humane way to harvest foxes or wolverines. So I think we succeeded. Okay, now we're gonna go to phase two, which is to actually test this and make sure that the jaws flow freely inside the cubby box I made. The safety is now off, and that is a hot, very powerful trap. The 330 conibear here, it's a large trap, so I'm a little bit leery about the son of gun here, and definitely don't wanna be putting my arm in there. I'm pretty sure it would actually break your arm. And that's what happens.
Jesus Christ.
That's powerful. Guess it works. So I'm excited to give it a try. You know, everything up here is trial and error, but with error, you know, there's a price to be paid. So if I waste part of the trapping season fooling around with these cubby boxes and conibears and I don't have any success, that's time wasted, fur I didn't catch. And if I'm not catching fur, I'm wasting money, and I'm not into wasting anything up here. Setter here and try not to break my arm. So I'm learning as I go, and whenever you're learning anything new, there's a learning curve. Gotta pay really close attention here. To make a mistake, cost you a finger or worse. So to be honest, I am kind of scared of these traps. I'm just not very experienced with them, so I try to use a lot of caution. I'm pretty cold right now. It's about 20 below zero. There's a learning curve. I'm just trying to have that curve not include me snapping my freaking arm in this. I try to use a lot of caution. It's pretty cold right now. It's about 20 below zero. Oh, that wasn't cool. Oh. Well, I caught my hand in it. Didn't feel particularly good. Oh yeah, that, I guess that's part of the learning curve. Forced to work without a glove right now to get my glove out of the trap. It's not all that fun. Stupid like that where you are operating when you're tired. In the cold, doing stuff by yourself, you smash your hand open. but you can get yourself in trouble out here, so... At least my arm's not stuck in it. Using my body here as leverage. This hand isn't feeling too good. You may notice my leeriness around the trap now. This one should be a good one. I got a piece of a moose skull in there. Oh. Come back here in a few days and maybe we'll have gotten lucky. Learned a good lesson here with these 330s. Kind of, I guess, reminded myself why I never fooled with them in the past. They're freaking dangerous. I'm happy all it had was my hand.
I've heard the term, walking around in a dreamlike state.
I don't want to sleep through life. I can dream when I'm dead.
With the deep freeze fast approaching, Sue's racing to make sure her camp can withstand the harsh Arctic conditions.
You know, for the last 10, 11 years, I've been living in a corner of the dining hall year-round. This year, I put up this building so that I had some personal space. Anytime you put up a new structure, you've got to lessen any of the imperfect contact. You know, where's the wind going to come in? These winds are going to hit me at 100 miles an hour, maybe. Cold air is going to come barreling in. And if there's any little tiny hole, snow is going to come barreling in and make a huge drift in here. For my own safety, my own comfort, I've got to start foaming as much as I can. There's no way I'm going to be able to get each and every tiny little crevice. But I'll get the ones that I can see and I'll discover more as the winter goes on. It's going to be a new experience for me. This is like walking into Kavik all over day one. Is this going to be very pretty? No. Is it going to be effective? Yes. You know, and am I perfect at doing this stuff? No. But little by little, Ms. Gomer Pyle makes it happen. Personally, every single damn year that I'm here, I'm a greenhorn. There is going to be something that nature or life shows me entirely new. It's all the unknowns, which is thrilling, but at the same time, spooky. I've been hearing a noise, ka-clink, 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 in the wind. It's bothering me. This'll have to be secured down, or it will get torn off in the winds and possibly tear into one of my tents. You know, I mean, you do live, to a large extent, using your ears. I mean, when you're protecting yourself, your eyes are pretty good, but eventually it's all dark and they don't do me a hell of a lot of good. I listen. The footsteps coming through the river, I can lay there in bed and tell you, is that a wolf? Is that a caribou? Is that a bear? This will help protect me, but it also helps keep camp in one piece instead of 10 or 12.
Sue relies on her senses for survival, but they are also linked to her darkest memory, a bear attack several years ago that left her nearly dead until help arrived.
After the bear attack, and I was laying here I don't know how many days, and I can't move in the tent, and you could hear a bear chewing on the skull of something not 10 feet away from me on the other side of the tent. I could not move. I could not do anything. And you're hearing and the huffing, and they nudge the side of the tent. Is he coming to get me next? Is this it? Or is he just with me? And, yeah, thanks. That's the most disturbing memory that I try not to think about. I mean, is this some kind of a super-duper fix? No. Will it do what I'm asking it to do? It's not going to make a hell of a lot of noise, no. So, I mean, yeah. Fix is done. On to the next chore.
I enjoy myself. I don't live up to someone else's expectations. I don't live up to someone else's standards. I don't care.
Chip and Agnes Hailstone are stocking the Kobuk River for moose, a crucial source of meat for their family as well as their community.
Just gotta go get the moose, and then we'll have moose meat and moose tongue and moose heart and everything to do with moose.
So what we do is we come around the corners, we try to take them wide so we can have a good look at what's around the corner. Because when we take them close and we jump a moose, they just run away. When we take them wide, we're hoping there's a moose around the corner, because quite often they're out of the brush, but this is where they live. They live in the brush. They're very hard to detect.
With a calf, we can only catch a cow without a calf.
We gotta keep it in sight. If we lose sight of it, we got nothing. There he goes. There he goes.
Where'd you go?
Oh, we're never gonna see her new. Just got a cup of coffee.
Luck for moose. I think my husband's a little stressed out.
That was a little too exciting.
Well-educated moose, she was out of here like that.
Yeah, but she was fat. That was worth shooting.
Go by those trees.
Let's go back here and have a look. Oh man, there's a trail and a half right here.
I don't have any money. I need moose in order to get other things. Moose.
A lot of good-sized moose tracks.
The pressure's on.
If you want to live out in the bush here, there's a lot of work associated with it. And there's a certain lifestyle that you gain and a certain lifestyle that you lose. I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Pretty cold this morning. Looking forward to going on a trip, doing some trapping. But I don't think my machine will start. Matter of fact, my kill switch is frozen. When it's this cold, can't get the machine started. I tarp it off. Throw a space heater under it, so see what we can make happen here. I live a long ways from Fairbanks, and I'm not that good of a mechanic to begin with. If I break the machine, I'm down transportation out here. I can't haul firewood, I can't go trapping. It's a major problem, so it doesn't hurt it to just give her a little preheat.
I'm gonna get the tarp over the whole machine, and then kind of tighten down the sides here with snow. When it's this cold, equipment breaks, you gotta preheat stuff. I could probably yank on this snow machine for a while and get her to start, but if I fire up this generator and plug in a space heater for 15, 20 minutes, it'll start up fairly easy, and it's just a lot easier on the machine, it's a lot easier on me. You know, everything will be nice and warm and ready to go, but when you're operating in extreme cold, 30, 40 below zero, everything is a pain in the butt. I'm gonna go and get myself warmed up, meaning I'm gonna have another cup of coffee. and I better get to it.
There's a time of year when things are meant to happen. If you don't do it during that time, you're not going to get it. I didn't get a beaver this morning, so I'm going to head back to the same ponds, and hopefully there'll be some beavers out swimming around. This might be a bit of a waiting game tonight, but I'm going to hunt until it gets too dark to shoot. I like winter. This is my favorite season of the year. I love the fall. We're having a really beautiful one this year with all these fall colors mixed with the snow. Every year is different up here. We just never know from season to season. I think that's why I love it up here. The beauty of living up here is seeing the interaction of all the different types of wildlife, plants, animals, how they all interact, how they all depend on each other and feed off of each other. And that's fascinating to me. So far, I've never lost a beaver hunting them this way. I don't want this to be the first.
I'm gonna see if I can't cast out a few times and hopefully snag them. I'll probably end up snagging a damn branch. There's an awful lot of stuff in the river. For beavers, that's the first. Ooh, there's some bubbles coming up right there. I think I got it. There we go. I got him. Son of a bitch. Oh, is that ever lucky or what? It's not that small. Nice, nice beaver. When I first shot him, I thought he was gonna float for me, but then he started to sink real slow, and once he went down in there, I figured my chances were pretty slim. But saw some bubbles coming up, and so that was kind of a telltale sign of where he was at. Got him. Looks like he got him right where I wanted, right in the ear. Went in right here. Probably weighs, he's a good 40, 50 pounds anyway. 40 pounds.
head back to the hacienda.
Cavic is not a place that you look on the map and say, I hope I live there when I get older. It's a place that I happened upon and developed a love for.
Hey, girlfriend. You almost ready for your walk, huh? I'm not. I still got work to do.
Ermin is an older, retired sled dog. She is companionship. She is quite old. She may not make it. She may not have an extremely long journey with me. And I knew that going into it. I don't form attachments other than superficial ones with my foxes. This is a committed relationship to something old that won't be here long. So it is inviting something social into my world, but she's not asking me to compromise my values to have her.
Gotta put away the fuel.
What I'm doing now, I need to bring those barrels of unleaded fuel from the outside to the inside. I have barrels of unleaded out here. It's in the weather right now. I need to get it out of the weather. If I leave it sit there, it's gonna be buried under a 20-foot drift. Life is one big learning lesson. I like the feeling that I am strong and I can take care of it. And that probably leads into why I don't make a good partner for anybody is I can take care of it and I don't have any desire to share a lot of the load. So that's the biggest thing being out here has done, or this entire lifestyle throughout my life, is really well-defined parameters of need and want. What can I do for myself? If I can't do it this way, the way everybody else does it, well, how can I do it in a way that works for me? You learn you can be quite capable of taking care of yourself. Physical labor it takes to be here, do this on my own.
Oh, come on, bitch.
There's nobody to help you. You've got to pick it up. And then you've got to move it. And to depend on everybody else to get me there is currently unacceptable. I don't know, that's 300-400 pounds of fun there. Unleaded, highly explosive. That's not a good feeling. But the ratchet strap that was holding them together did not hold. So you stop what you're doing, ride it. I'll go around, check it, make sure there's no leaks. I don't see any. But I'll check it again. But I need it back here out of the way. Every day's full of surprises. That's one of them. You know, so be surprised, but get your ass off your, you know, couch and deal with it. This really was the last bit of preparation for my equipment. Yeah, I mean, your world is getting tight now. Winter is gonna be here, it's here, it's gonna keep getting worse. Everything else I do from here on out, it's gonna be under my own power, my own steam, my own energy. The last of the heavy, heavy items that needed to be lifted were forklifted. The bucket is on it, it did its number. Backed in and put to bed, it's waiting for spring. Those doors are shut to the equipment from here on out for that bobcat. The rest of the season, it's, girl power.
People that do subsistence like we do are self-employed. We don't have to work for someone else. That's a bunch of garbage. We're much a work-for-ourselves kind of people. We're much happier this way.
I think this is a little shallower than we want. I'm just gonna turn around here. Ooh, with no cap, with no cap. Right there, right there, right there. It's a little guy, no cap. Shoot it.
Yeehaw! Woo! Chip!
He's down, he's down, he's down. Reload, reload, put one in the chamber in case he's alive. Just finish him off. Yeah, he's done.
My last shot. Empty. Oh my God, this is a perfect one. It's gonna be feeding a lot of people. Me and my whole family, anyways. Oh man, this is a good one. We're having moose steaks for dinner.
A lot of different people come to Alaska for a lot of different reasons. I came here to sort of find my place in the world, which I did, but it's not for everybody. Trapping is a real challenge because when you're trapping an animal like an Arctic fox, where they live is a very inhospitable climate. It's really cold up in Arctic fox country. What you're really fighting against more than anything then is the weather conditions and the terrain. So trapping's a real challenge. There's very little harder to do out in the bush than to run a trap line and catch animals consistently. The fox population is a cycle like anything else here in the Arctic. It comes up and it goes down and they get rabies and kills them off and they crash and then they come back and they go up and down and that's just the cyclical nature of nature. Checking this trap. Nothing. Trap's been here a few days, nothing yet, but being here in the light, it's a nice spot here on the riverbank, and I'm pretty confident this trap will produce in time. I'm gonna go and check a couple more. I guide hunters all fall, and after taking other people around in the wilderness for many months in a row, trapping is a nice reprieve to just spend some time alone out in the woods and do my own thing. Got a couple traps checked, haven't caught anything yet, but a few more to go, and hopefully I'll get lucky towards the end of the line. I've been a little bit disappointed here. There's been a rabies epidemic, and the numbers of foxes that I'm seeing are much lower than the past few years. So hopefully as the winter progresses, I'll see some more. But thus far this season, I haven't seen as much fox sign as I normally do. Checking traps all day. Haven't had much luck. I see a fox track here approaching my cubby. Got high hopes here on the last one. Nice! Checking traps all day. Haven't had much luck. I see a fox track here approaching my cubby. Got high hopes here on the last one. Nice! Got an Arctic fox. Finally got a payoff here on these new cubby box I made. Really nice hide. Nice clean catch, got him right on the neck. I'm sure I killed him instantly here with this 330 Conibear, and this makes it all worth it. I'm pumped, that's awesome. Got a white fox. But I'm definitely leaving this cubby box here, and next time I come through, I'll bring the trap back and reset it. It's a good spot. When I was growing up, I really enjoyed hunting, and that's why when I came of age, I became a guide. And now that I've entirely ruined hunting for myself by being a guide, and I missed pretty much the entire season, my big thing in the last few years is trapping. Where I live in the Brooks Range of Alaska, I'm in the most southern of the Arctic Fox's range, so I don't get very many, so it's kind of a special catch. I'm gonna get this fox home and skin it out, and a fox like this is worth up to about $250, so that's a good catch for me.
The whole idea of us hunting is it's economic. It's what we do to make a living.
A lot of people criticize this, but yet
those people don't put their hands on an animal and kill it themselves. Somebody else does it for them.
Hello, Mr. Moose. Yeah, you can use every part of this. What I can't use, I can give away. I personally don't need the antlers, but I know somebody who will value the material of the antlers. They don't care that they're intact or anything, but I'll saw them up and send them to them.
Trying to use all of an animal's products is giving it respect. You know, trying to kill it as painlessly and as fast as possible is giving it respect. This is a delicious moose tongue. I'm going to boil this in water. I'm going to take it out and slice it up and put salt and pepper on it, and I'm going to eat the whole thing myself if I can do it without them catching me.
Is that heart and tongue?
It's just tongue so far, babe. The heart's in here somewhere.
Can you make heart and tongue soup?
The heart's in this bag. You want me to make heart and tongue soup? That's a heart. Delicious. See, my daughter wants heart and tongue, so I'm really working for them. Chunk of it.
I'm gonna take the sinew off first.
Yeah.
Well, you can call Jeff and he can come take his meat.
Sure. Hey, Jeff. Hey, I got a tenderloin here for you. Yeah, stop by. I'm always happy when I kill something. It's success. That's what we do. We don't get a moose every fall. We used to get musk ox. We preferred them to moose. But it's a good substitute. What can you say?
For the Hailstone family, spare meat goes a long way in a community that relies on trade. Today, they will share their harvest with their neighbor and longtime friend, Jeff.
Come on in.
Hey, Chip.
What's going on?
So you guys got a moose out there.
We got a moose out there. We're going to hang the bigger chunks up. We'll split it up later, but for now, there's tenderloins.
Awesome.
You guys can chow down for a day or two or give it all away if you don't want it.
Oh, that'll go straight to the freezer.
Yep. There's a shorter piece of sinew for you.
All of this?
Yep. She just cleaned up the tenderloin there. A lot of this is fat you can just chop up. There's some hairs and there's some grass that needs to be gathered off of it yet, but what the heck? They eat grass, right?
Yeah.
And twigs and willows. This one was almost invisible in the willows, though. Got an excellent color on him. No rut.
Thanks a lot for the meat.
Yeah, no problem.
What are you going to do with the tongue?
Eat it. Myself. All myself.
I'll make sure I stop by.
There you go. And I'll make potatoes with it.
Well, I got to run. Thanks for the moose again. That was awesome.
Yep.
And I will see you later.
We all reciprocate in one way or another. Gasoline, meat, parts, babysitting, bullets.
We've chosen to be happy, not rich. Not full of money. We're not in competition with other people. We like being providers and sharing and contributing.